like to speak about, in regards to Purim, the concept of Amalek eradicating evil. And therefore, at the very start, it's very appropriate to dedicate the shiur to the Kedoshim who were killed in Itamar over Shabbat, that Hashem should protect all of Klal Yisrael in the schus of our learning and give nechama to all those in mourning among Klal Yisrael. When we take a look at the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek, of eradicating Amalek, we find something very fascinating which is not found in regards to all the other of the nations. The Nesiva Shalom in the Arrow in Source 1 notes, Dihine inyan Mechias Amalek, as the Chumash tells us, Mechama LaHashem BaAmalek Midor Dor. The war with Amalek is for every generation. It's a Mechama LaHashem, a war to God. And we have, and this week is Shabbos Zachor, Zachor Tasher Asalecha Amalek. Remember what Amalek did to you. And the question the Siva Shalom asks is a very basic question. If we were to compare what Amalek did to what other nations have done to us, would we say the attack of Amalek was worse, was more disastrous than what other nations have done to us, whether Nebuchadnezzar, whether Hordus, whether other people in Jewish history, in the times of Hordus and times of Nebuchadnezzar, we would say those were worse times? So clearly, says the Nesiva Shalom, the answer is no. Ki Amalek hu etzem hara shel ha'ola. Amalek represents the epitome of ra, the epitome of evil in this world. Velo mipnei she'asa lanu ra'os. Right? You have titos who may have done worse to us. You have people in Jewish history who may have done worse. But Amalek represents, they epitomize what evil is. And therefore, the war with Amalek is the war of Zeh l'umat Zeh, one compared to the other. Amalek represents the quintessential evil, and Klal Yisrael represents the quintessential good. And the war with Amalek is the war to overcome evil. Now, obviously, my friends, on the outer world, that's clear, to vanquish evil, albeit we don't know who Amalek is at this point in time. But I'd like to focus in on the Amalek that's found within us. As the Nesiva Shalom notes in a squiggly line in 1, V'alderech ha'avoda ha'rezeh shayach l'chol echad. The working of evil is something incumbent upon each and every one of us. La'akor en yekudat hara shel klipat Amalek asher b'kirbo, b'tocho. To be able to uproot that point of evil that's found within each and every one of us. Because after all, that is why we are here in this world, to be able to overcome those quality traits that are within us that are representative of ra, of negativity, and of evil. Notes the Nesiva Shalom. One of the ways to be able to accomplish this is to work on the nekuda, the weakness that Klal Yisrael had that allowed Amalek to come in the first place. He notes in source number 2, the pasuk tells us that when Klal Yisrael said in Masa Meriva, Hayesh Hashem v'kirbeinu imayit, is Hashem with us or not, it was a lack of emuna. And therefore, hatikun u'mechias Amalek, one of the ways to fix Amalek, he hashrashat ha'emuna, is working on emuna, shenargish, that we will feel, ki yesh Hashem v'kirbeinu, that Hashem is among us, b'chol ha'tnaim v'amatzavim, in all times and in all places. And therefore, my friends, the day to work on eradicating the negativity in us, the day to focus in on emuna, and the arrow says in the Siva Shalom, Vayom ha-mesugam l'chias Amalek ha-pnimi, to work on the inner Amalek within us, who yom achas v'shana, it's once a year. B'yom asher shivru oive Yehudim l'shlopahem, v'nafochu asher yishlatu ha-Yehudim heima b'soneihem. The one day that the Megillah describes that we were able to overcome our enemies. and we were able to have the upper hand. And that enemy within us needs that one day, that skula. We're all looking for skulas. That skula of one day a year, which we have, to be able to overcome the enemy within. Anyone who makes a real concerted effort to be able to extend their hand in purity, they have the siyata d'shmaya, the help from above, to be successful. Another aspect of being able to vanquish this evil, notes in Siva Shalom in Source 3, Vahareka la sagat hamadraga hazot, asher yishlatu ha-yehudim hema b'sonehem, is the skula tayom, is the ava v'achdus ben ish l'reyehu. We find that the Kabbalah Satorah was in unity, and we find also that the ability to help ourselves be strong in our emunah, be strong in overcoming this inner enemy, is friendship, is love, is matanos levyonim, the mishloch manos, that we give one to each other. That feeling of unity also enables us to overcome our enemy. This is Siva Shalom sets up for us the overall paradigm that I'd like to, Mirtz Hashem, speak about more at length today. The war of Mechias Amalek is the war of the inner evil that we must vanquish. Purim is a skula, is a day to help us be successful. Emuna is the key form in being successful on this journey, as well as Achdus, as well as unity among each other, is also a helping hand. I'd like to try to be able to develop this Siva Shalom by first looking at trying to vanquish Amalek with a Sur Mera, by removing the evil, by trying to head on, get rid of, or work on our negative character traits. And then to focus in on the Asay Tov, how can we vanquish Amalek with strengthening in the positive way, in particular Emunah. And after we've seen both the Sur Mera and the Asay Tov, we can then come back to the concept of Mereus, the concept of friendship, and we can come back with practical ideas on how to use Purim and the time of Adar to be successful in our battle against Amalek. But I'll say at the outset, my friends, Purim is a very, very interesting day, because on face value, we almost feel like Purim is a day that we can almost let loose a little bit, you know, Simcha Purim and Mishteh and the drinking and the Mishloch Manos and the costume. If we almost feel like, you know, if we had one day a year where we could just, you know, let loose and hang, it's Purim. My friends, it's the exact opposite. Someone was telling me this morning, they have members of their Mishpacha, who's a granddaughter of Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Zecher Tzadik Tivracha. And she was saying that this individual said that in Rav Shlomo Zalman's house, you felt simcha all year round. Purim was v'nafochu. There was a certain seriousness in the air which wasn't felt all year round, because he understood and the family understood the severity of the day. Severity is the wrong word. The heaviness of the day. That this is a day that you can be fooled by the outer appearances, but the day is achas b'shana. It's the highest day of the Jewish calendar year, as we've spoken about from our Pinkus, starting in Nisan. It then escalates, and Purim is it. Purim is not. Batel Lo Silava will be around in the future. Purim is the apex. Purim is the climax. The Tfilon Purim is of the highest level. And we have to be careful, my friends, to be able to understand what our avoda is, what is incumbent upon us on Purim, and every year we take a look at different angles, that we don't lose out on the koach, on the power of the day. That doesn't mean you can't have a good time, but don't lose the focus within all of the gaiety. Let's start with the Sur Meira. Let's start with trying to eradicate evil from the negative side. Let's look at the Sefer Avodat Avodah, the Rebbe of Tosh near Montreal, where he notes in source number 6, in order to vanquish the Amalek within us, we have to be able to define who and what Amalek is all about. Well, Amalek, we know, is the grandson of Esav. What was Esav all about? So Esav, we know, has a bechina, what we call sheker, falsehood. We've learned this year, that Esav would be merameh, he would fool his father, how do you take tithes off the salt, where he had no intention of doing such a thing. This is living in a world of sheker, a world of falsehood. But when you live in a world of sheker, at least you're well aware you're living in sheker. There's a worse level than sheker, and that's the world of shab. We literally translate that as nothingness. And he notes in the middle of six, V'im ha'adam yinaheg b'derech zeh zman rav. If a person lives in the world of sheker, or falsehood, for long enough time, and doesn't work on the sheker to try to embrace the midah of emes, Azayin nofel l'klipat gruah yoter, he said, then you fall into a worse state. And that is hanikra bechinat shav, which means shemerame gamet atzmo, where you're fooling yourself. Dahainu sheino rotze lakir v'lo do b'maseh sheker shelo, elo mer la sheker shezo emeth. You want to know what a worse stage is, my friends? When you live in a world where you think falsehood is truth, and truth is falsehood, and then you rationalize one's behavior. The pasuk in Yeshaya, where one says, la'ra tov, v'la tov ra. And this is a deeper explanation in Surah 7 of the war of Amalek, is described, kiyad al kes ka, the hand literally is on the kisei, written chaser, written as case, ka of Hashem, written chaser, written in a diminutive form as well. Case literally means concealment. The hand of Amalek is on this aspect of concealing the godliness in this world, where you no longer have the perspective of what you're doing, whether it's truth or falsehood. And this is really the outcome from the sin of Chedei Tzadat, which is a Nachash, which is Amalek, where the Zuamat of a Nachash, where you no longer see when you're doing an Aveira, you think it's a mitzvah, and you've lost this clarity. That's what Amalek wants to have our mindset be. The world of Shav, the world of concealment over the Yud-Kei. And if we're able to analyze this one step deeper, my friend, the Nekuda of Amalek, the mindset of a person who fools themselves in this way and rationalizes their entire life, or most of their life, Source 8, V'shoresh koach ha-shav hazeh, shel Esav ha-Amalek, nitzmach memidas ha-gaiva, comes from gaiva, comes from haughtiness. Ki midas ha-geyus hi ha-shoresh ha-moneya ta-adam, milodot sha-asa ma-sera. When a person is so arrogant, then they don't have the ability to be able to admit what they did was wrong. And that's how we find that Amalek in Gematria is Ram, that one who is high up, exalted. Because that's the whole essence of who Amalek is about. Now, in this very long essay, which I've really distilled down, the Tasha Rebbe says, let's talk about, not Amalek, so to speak, but you and me. What happens when we have this klipa of Amalek in us? What happens when we have this gaiva in us? He says there's a slippery slope that affects all of our midos. And just to give one example that the Tasha Rebbe gives would be the following. He says, imagine you have a friend who's more successful than you, or who has a better, and wherever you are in life, you will fill in the blanks. For a young person, it's a better chassan. At the next stage, the children are more successful. The house, the job, I mean, fill it in. Be creative. They have. And because of your gaifa, because of your arrogance, you say to yourself, oh, chutzpah. Who does God think he is? You don't actually say this, but you feel this. That this person deserves to have this much money, this much status, this much cover, this type of family. I know for a fact that I'm better than them. I mean, what a backwards world we live in. And that gaiva leads to kinna, leads to jealousy. Now, here's what happens. Let's say somebody comes over to you because they're interested in a shidduch in this family. So you no longer see things with clarity because your arrogance has led you to jealousy. So the person comes over to you and says, oh, I hear, you know, family so-and-so. Could you tell me about them? Oh, yeah, I know about them. Oh, you know, I would look into them really carefully. You know, things on the outside aren't always the way on the inside. They're a great family. Everyone, you know, likes them so much, and they have such a fine reputation, and you look how successful they are. But, you know, not everything that you see needs to be. I'm not saying anything negative. No, don't get me wrong. They're a great family. Now, you can rationalize to yourself and say, in that statement, you have said no Lashon Hara. Okay, you may not have said any Lashon Hara, but you sure have implied it. Where is this coming from? It's not coming from MS. And in fact, in your mind, you're doing this person a favor that they should look into this family better. Why? Because you really think there must be something wrong with the family. How come they have something better than you when you know you deserve more? What a convoluted world we live in. This is the world of Amalek. It's a world of Shav. It's a world of Sheker. It's a world of falsehood. And my friends, don't think any of us are immune to this world. We're all, at some level, affected by our negative midos, and that colors the way we see the world around us. And therefore, the job of eradicating Amalek at the end of 9, Shevachal Dor Vador Sarich Adam Taher Kol Machshavotav, we have to purify our thoughts, Diburav U'Masav, our speech and our actions, Min HaKochos Halalu Shoklipat Amalek HaMutbayim Bo, that are found within us. And this, continuing in 10, is the mitzvah of Simcha, that we have to be happy, Bimei HaPurim Ha'elu. Right, so often we're asked, what is Simcha all about? Ki kasher ha'adam zochel l'taher levavo. When a person is zochel, merit, to purify their hearts from all the negativity of the klipas Amalek. Mit orerut ayidei ze b'levavo simcha v'ched v'rabah, then a great happiness is able to ensue. Ki simcha pnimis haba metara salev, an inner simcha, that comes from the purity of the heart. Ki mida ta'atzfus ba mima shadam margish shechaser lo eitz adavar. Sadness comes when you feel like you're missing something. They have what you don't have. You feel like you deserve. V'hu birogez u'bekas, and you're angry. Why does your friend have something that you don't have? Why does your friend have something greater than you don't have? But when a person can be metayer his mitos, and can realize that everything that he has is a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the ability to breathe, I'll call neshima v'neshima, is a gift from Hashem, then we have the perspective of what Simcha is all about. Then we have the perspective of thanking Hashem for what we do have, and we don't focus on what we don't have. A person can reach this level through Taras HaMidos, through working on their midos. But as we noted last week, my friends, the V'yadata Yom HaShavot HaLavecha works on two levels. One is definitely the Sur Meira. One is definitely Taras HaMidos. The more we work on who we are, the more we have clarity in what we want in life, and we're not jealous, and we're not angry, and we're not arrogant, the closer we come to the world of reality. And that, my friends, is definitely one way of working on Amalek within us, and that is part of Avodas Hashem. But then there's a second way we spoke about last week, and that is strengthening Emunah, the intellectual realm, the Asei Tov, which is also a very powerful tool to work on Taras HaMidos. It's this tool that I want to focus in on for the majority of this year today. To introduce the Asei Tov, there's a Gevaldic idea that Rav Brazil brings down in the Sefer Bishvili Nivra Olam. And he says, Umalu tikuno shel Adam harishon achar achlo meitzadat. The punishments of Adam HaRishon, we know, are not meant to be punitive punishments. They're meant as a corrective measure. So what was Adam HaRishon's corrective measure after he consumed of this tree? The Pasuk tells us, V'kotz v'dardar tatzmiach lo. Thorns and thistles will grow for him. Now, on the technical level, that means he's going to have to work the ground much harder, and he's going to have to really be able to sift through the negativity to find positivity, to be able to produce his bread. But on a deeper spiritual level, the dardar is the struggle that Adam HaRishon has to go through to rectify his sin, to be able to come back to the state of purity of Adam before the sin. What does dardar represent? It represents the struggle of dalad reish, dalad reish. And Rav Brazil continues by explaining, then the Sfarim, they write that when you take a look at the pasuk of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Hashem is one, the Dalet of Echad is written big in the Sefer Torah, so we don't confuse it with Hashem Acher, another God, because the Dalet and Resh look very similar. And similarly, there's another letter that's written big. There are quite a number, but in this case, one that's significant. Avlo tishtachaveh lel acher, Parsha Kitisa, don't bow down to another God. There, the Resh is written big, so you shouldn't say, don't bow down to one God. The Dalet of Echad and the Resh of Acher, that's the struggle of Dalet Resh, Dar Dar. Dalet Resh, Dalet Resh. That's the continual struggle that we go through. The difference between the Dalet and the Resh, the Hashem Echad, or the El Acher, is the Kutzel Shoyud, is a small little smidgetic. But it makes a world of difference. Do you attribute everything to God? Do you see God as the focus of one's life? Or is it kochivot semyoti? Is it the strength and the strength of our own hands? Is it about my own prowess? Is it about my own brilliance? Is it about outside factors? Is it about teva, sibam, savav, cause and effect? And my friends, the dardar, dalet resh, we encounter almost every moment of our lives. How do we focus in on life? And it's not by accident that he explains the Medrash on a deeper level, that Amalek, Hifkid Eitzel Kadosh Baruch Hu, the end of 11, Chavilot Shel Kotzim, Amalek gave as safekeeping to God a bag of kotzim, literally of thorns. But kotzim are also that kutzo shoyud, that little yud. Amalek took that little smidgetic by the dalet that will now, if you take it away, look like a resh, because that's Amalek's job. Amalek doesn't want you to believe in the Hashem Echad. Amalek is the same gematria as safek, as doubt. Amalek wants you to enter into a world of doubt, into an el acher. And it is any wonder in the end of 12 that the mochama b'Hashem b'Amalek is midor dor from generation to generation, but it's missing a vav. It's written dalet resh, because the war with Amalek is a war of dar dar. It's a war of is it Hashem Echad or el acher. Which world do you live in? To fight Amalek means to fight the Dalet Resh war and to be able to live the Hashem Echad, the Dalet, throughout our lives. Now let's explain what this means. There's a Gevaldik essay, and it's much longer, but I try to take as many of the ideas as I could. In my mind, this is the essay I want to share for Purim. I'm not promising any chidushim in this essay. In the language of the Seals Yisharim, I just want to review what we know so that we have one concrete idea to focus in on Purim. Rav Yaakov Lugassi in B'yam Derech explains what is the specialness of Purim, what is our avoda of Amuna on Purim. So he says, there's a famous Ramban at the end of Parshat Bo that says, Source 12, Matarat HaNisim HaMufursamim, the point of the open miracles, Pesach, Shavuos, anytime God does open miracles, is for us to then be able to recognize and to inculcate within our lives the Nisim Nistarim, the hidden miracles. And this is, he continues by saying, that Shematarat HaNisim HaFursamim Shasa Hashem Lamo, and the asterisks in 12, therefore, if you just celebrate the holiday, celebrating the miracle, you haven't fulfilled your obligation. But our job is to take the Hashgacha Pratit, to be able to put it into life, which seems to be, you know, Olam Kaminago Noheg, it seems to be the doldrums of life, the neskil lavim she'ein hei mikre kal, elo nistim nistarim. But to say that this is not mikre, we know you mix up the letters of mikre, it's rak mashem, but this is not by chance ela, but rather it's hidden miracles. And this is why all of the nisim, all of the shlosh regalim, are a means to an end, but they're not the end in themselves. They are a means for us to get to this reality of seeing Hashem in every day. And if we think about it, my friends, it's much easier to recognize the Kriyas Yamsuf, the Eser Makos. It's much easier to recognize oil that burns for 8 days than to see Hashem in our day-in, day-out life. But if we stop at Kriyas Yamsuf and don't take that next step forward, then we have not really learned and appreciated and celebrated these miracles. And that's what it means in 13 when we say in the Nishmat Kol Chai, that beautiful tefillah we say on Shabbos, Ein anachnu aspikim lahodos l'cha Hashem Elokeinu. We don't stop praising you. Al achas mi alef elef alfim v'rivei rivavos pamima tavos shasita lavoteinu v'imanu. We thank Hashem for the myriads of miracles He's done for us. Milyonei nisim, millions of miracles. So you look around and you say, He's done millions of miracles? I can name a couple in the Chumash. Maybe I'll get to. I don't know. But millions? Yes. Says Harav Shomer Munim, Devada Kamana Gamal Anisim Ativim Vanistarim. When we're thanking Hashem, we're not only thanking Him for the open miracles, we're thanking Him for the millions, breathing, functioning, all of these are miracles to Ein Sof HaKeitz in the account that we want to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for. Now, when we understand this, we can understand now in 14 what it means, Zachar Tasher Salach HaAmalek. What was it about the war of Amalek that's a war midor dor? What did Amalek try to do? Amalek came at a very sensitive moment in Klal Yisrael's history. Amzu Yatzartali. It's a time, the Navi tells us, that Hashem was forming us. It was a time almost like that embryo, which everything counts on such a delicate level, where we had gone through the open miracles of Egypt. We had experienced Kriyas Yamsuf. We're entering to the time of Mamed Har Sinai, and the Sfiras Omer was a time for the Klal Yisrael to be able to take this reality, what they've seen around them, to make it a Kenyan, to make it theirs, to be able to make it part and part of the way, the Weltanschauung of the way they look at life. And Amalek comes in right during this kufa and says, stop. Stop. Asher karcha baderech. The kriwas of Amalek wasn't only to cool down the bath for the nations. It was to cool down the bath for Klal Yisrael. The second paragraph from 14. It was sinein v'kirer emunatam biotam adatam mitchaskim miyom liyom b'emunato uvitchano yitbarach. Every day they were growing in their passion toward Hashem. And what Amalek tried to do was to bring down this feeling of being special. Bring down this feeling that they're living ma'al lateva. Bring down this feeling that Hashem is with them. Hayesh Hashem bekirbeinu imayin. And in that, they were successful. My friends, this is the battle of Amalek, explains Rav Lugassy. The battle of Amalek is not to try to claim that the Nisim, the miracles of Pesach or Kriyas Yamsuf didn't happen. No, let them happen. I don't mind open miracles. What Amalek is fighting is the goal. It's not the means to the goal. The goal being, do you see Hashem at every moment in your life? Do you see the Hashem Echad and not the El Acher? Do you feel that Hashem is with you? That there is no Suffolk? That's what he's fighting. He doesn't want Klal Yisrael to feel that they're special. He doesn't want Klal Yisrael to feel that they're above the mazel, that they're above kishuf, that they're above sorcery and magic. He wants Klal Yisrael to feel like every other nation, that there were exists within Klal Yisrael like every nation. Teva, nature. Sibal misavav, cause and effect. That's the battle of Amalek. That's the grievous of Amalek. Asher korcha baderech, the Mefarshim explain, Meloshon mikra, that of chance. My friends, listen to the way we speak. Do we say, wow, I had a chance occurrence. What a coincidence that I met you. Or do we say, wow, this was Yad Hashem that I met you now. I just had this not more than an hour ago where my daughter had to walk somewhere to get picked up for chug. And she doesn't like walking there alone. And since we're on air an hour earlier, because we haven't switched our times, she knew she was going to have to walk there alone. And then a little friend calls up and says, can I come and play? We'll walk together. And her reaction was, wow, Hashem loves me that I have a little friend to go with me. It's not what a mazel, what a chance that this girl called. It's Hashem loves me. It's seeing the Yad Hashem in everything that happens. That's how we have to speak. That's how we have to think. Amalek wants us to think coincidence, mikra. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to think ein mazal Yisrael. Everything is about Hashem's love for us, Hashem's hashkocha pratit for us. And now we can appreciate the way Haman speaks in 17. Haman mizera Amalek haya. V'achaz b'shitat avotav l'tashtesh nitzei Hashem v'lekakeya b'tzatam u'mamadam shal Yisrael. Haman, who's a direct descendant of Amalek, is trying to knock down the Jews. V'chi ein lahem shum yichudiyot. There's nothing special about them. Listen to how he speaks. That Am Yisrael's mefuzar, mefurad ben ha'amim. He puts them down. They're scattered among the nation. He is mimashpil to Am Yisrael to show there's nothing special about them. Why would Hashem choose a nation like them? The way Haman speaks is just a continuation of the mindset of Amalek, that there's nothing special between Klal Yisrael and the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And in 18, v'niftechas v'chalila lemunat ha'mikra. And when you don't think there's anything special about us, then you walk into the world of Mikra. Oh, shenistaf l'marechu shaynayim hamareh tifkud ha'olam b'derech sibam esavav. And you get caught up in the world of the cause and effect. V'nitaleim imitzvot ha'munah ha'mechayev elamin she'ein od mavoto. And you forget the whole essence of Judaism. One phrase, ein od mavoto, there's none other than Hashem. Harei sheterem machinu et Amalek. Before we destroyed Amalek, v'ichtanu ha'matarat mitzvah mechiyat Amalek, Amalek is trying to be able to take us away from the goal. The goal is ein od milvato. Im kein, harei the end of 18, shirak bekach, only, shinireh bemuna shleimet ashkachato yitvarach aleinu, when we feel Hashem's ashkach on us, v'nitfael minisav v'niflotav, and we're excited about the miracles, gam kishen bayim b'derech siruf mikrim kivyachol, even when they're happening in what we would say, an ordinary type of way. V'im kol zeh, nevertheless, nodelo, we thank Hashem. V'nashir lo unahalelo, and we give praise to Hashem. Harei shebekach higanu l'matarat hanisim mefursamim. Then we've reached the goal of the open miracles. V'akarnu etumas Amalek, and we've gotten rid of Amalek. U'bazen nistayim b'nischoneinu alto. How do we eradicate Amalek from within us? It's working on emuna of ein od mavato. And this is why, in 19, Mordechai and Esther, Bedafka write the Megillah without Shem Hashem. They write the Megillah over a 9-year period that one could read this and think it's a beautiful story, but how one event doesn't connect with the other. The fact that at one point in the Megillah, Vashti is thrown out of the Mishnah, and that Esther comes in her place, and it's Haman who's the one who says, get rid of Vashti, and Haman then is elevated, and Esther is related to Mordechai, who happens to have a big Tamateresh, and who happens, that Sefer Sichronon happens to be opened up that night, the king happens not to be able to sleep, and Haman happens to be walking to talk about how Mordechai should happen to be hung on that tree. Oh, a lot of things just happened to happen. And as Rav Vachfeigel Zatzal, the Mashkiach of Lakewood, said, all of us are a Megillah of our own lives. Each and every one of us is a story. All of us are writing the books of our lives. And again, when we look at the books of our lives, I could write the story the same way. I happened to be here when that person happened to offer me a job, which happened to lead me to, which happened to, and I could talk about the same story. I know myself. I happened to be visiting, and I'm saying happened in Mirchaot. I happened to be visiting my mother, and I happened to know somebody who was leading a Yomi Ilele Yonos Shana Rabba Darche Bina, and I happened to be invited to speak, and I happened to have been offered a job right then, and it happened to be that when my mother, Alei Shalom, died, this person happened to call me, this Rosh Yeshiva, to offer me Nechumim, and then offer me a job. This all just happened to be, and everything just happens to be, and isn't it a coincidence? Isn't it amazing I happened to land up a job? Wrong. Look at our own lives, my friends. Each and every one of us can write the story of our lives, and we can see clearly that nothing just happens. You want to know what Purim is about? Purim is about being able to take out the mikre of Amalek and be able to say Ein Od Milvado. And that's why in Source 20, when the Gemara Megillah asks, Madua Ein Omrim Hallel B'Purim, why don't we say Hallel on Purim? Amar Rav Nachman Mishum Shemegillah Hiya Hallel. Because Megillah itself is Hallel. What did Chachami mean by this? That Mordechai and Esther don't want us to say a separate Hallel. That's easy. You want to know what's harder? What's harder is in the Megillah itself to feel the Hallel to a Kaddish Baruch. In the Megillah itself, to be able to see the Nisim and to be able to say, ah, thank you, Hashem. And that explains in Source 22. The one opinion in the Gemara is, why don't we say Hallel? Hallelu of the Hashem. We say in Hallel, we praise are the ones who are the servants of Hashem. Vilo ana nakati of the Achashverosh anan. But now we are the servants of Achashverosh. Klomar, anu of the Hashem, velo of the Paro. By Paro, we've been saved. That's how we say Hallel on Pesach. But by Achashverosh, we haven't been saved. We're still the servants of Achashverosh. That's why we don't say Hallel. We're still the servants of Achashverosh. Looked around. Have you met an Achashverosh recently? We're servants of Achashverosh, says Rav Fugazi, because Achashverosh represents the Nisim Nistarim. Paro, we've been freed from the open miracles. But the closed miracles, the Mikra, the Mikrius, the teva of life, that we haven't been saved from. And that is why, to a real extent, we're still a vadim of Achashverosh. And that's why we can really only say a full hallel, in a separate hallel, only when Mashiach comes, when we clearly feel Ein Od Milvado. But now our job is, from the avdus of Achashverosh, to latzei lecheirus migolus ateva mitashei shanisim, to read the Megillah and feel the nisim, and feel the hallow. When we are able to do that, that enables us each and every year to step out a little bit more from being the servants of Achashverosh, to recognizing that we are indeed avdei Hashem, and that everything that happens to us is a direct cause of Hashem. And this, he explains in Source 21, is the real simcha amitid, is the real joy of Purim. We long so much, he knows, to the future times. When then we'll have shleimus hadad, we will know so clearly she'ein od milvado. And that everything that we thought by what we perceived in our eyes was only an achizat einayim, was only our perception. And in the future, we'll be able to see she'tachlit ha'tova lasid hi she'iskala sod yichudu ha'shalem. In the future, we'll be able to see the oneness of Hashem. Az yimalei schok pinu ulushoneinu rina. Ki ikar ha'galus. You want to know what exile is? Ki galus hadat. It's the exile of the mind. And ge'ula is ge'ula hadat. And simcha is shleimus hadat. When we are whole, when we are able to feel the Ein Od Milvado, which is what we begin to feel on Purim, that is a glimpse into the simcha of the future, and therefore it is the greatest simcha of the year. And in a practical way, my friends, post it around your house, play music, whatever you need. Ein Od Milvado, that's the simcha of Purim. Yes, there is, and we'll talk about it right now, other aspects that enhance this reality. But the reality of Purim, the simcha of Purim, if we were to get to the core, is one simcha. That life is in hefker. Ein Od Milvado. God is running the show. It's a great story that is found in the Sefer Va'arevna. There are a number of versions of the story. We'll share one. Perhaps you've heard of a slightly different version, but the point of the story is what counts. There was once a fellow in New York who was driving a car, a firm fellow, and an elderly man stepped in front of the car. He didn't see him, and he ran him over and killed him. This man was totally distraught, and even though he was indicated in court because the guy didn't cross at a crosswalk, he jumped in front of the car, how could he have seen him, he still felt very, very much at fault and very guilty. So he went to Rav Chaim Kanievsky Shlita and asked him what he should do. Rav Chaim wrote down, this is Mechia Samalek. So they thought this was very strange. The family thought this was very strange. Is every Jew in New York a Malek? Absolutely not. So what's going on here? So a while later, it turned out that somebody who bought that house found in, someone bought a house and found inside the house a chest. And in the chest was papers, and it became clear that the family had sold the house of this elderly man. And the people who found this chest discovered that this elderly man who was killed in this car accident was an SS officer. And that this was clearly Mechias Amalek by this person having killed this guy. He was a top SS officer that he had really killed. And in one version of the story, it even mentioned that this SS officer had killed this fellow own parents. However you want to understand the story, it's clear that these things just didn't happen, that this guy jumped in front of this car, and that somebody bought this house who found these papers, that they found out he was an SS guy, that Rav Chaim said that this is Mechias Amalek. These things just don't happen. This is Mechias Amalek. This is getting rid of, it happens to be, that Hashem orchestrates that this man should be driving the car at this time, and that these papers should be found, that he should see that who he had killed was really an SS officer. All of this is the orchestration of Hashem. And this explains very beautifully the Gemara, the Medrash, that says in 24 that all the korbanos will be atidim libata, will be ceased from being brought except for the korban toda. So he quotes here from a Ephraim Zaitchik Zatzal. Why specifically the korban toda, the Thanksgiving offering? In the future, it'll be all goodness, but it's going to be goodness to everybody. Not that you're going to feel special goodness that you want to bring this offering. And negative things are going to happen, like these car accidents, that people are going to want to then bring a korban toda, thank Hashem. What's this Indian of the korban toda? Listen to what he says. My friends, I found it so powerful. Second paragraph in 24. Veheshiv, tilatid yitbarer, etzel kol echad. In the future, it will be clear. Ta'amo v'sibato shakol sevel v'sevel. Why we suffered everything we suffered. Shesaval v'galus. In our galus, in our exile, both on a national level, like the horror that we just experienced over Shabbat and this family in Itamar, as well as our personal struggles. V'chol achzava shaita lo bimei chayav. And all our frustrations during our lifetime. Shalaha katzathazam. Hashem, why did you do this? And we got so angry. Bima haita zot lutovato. Kama haita zot lutovato. We'll see how it's really for our good. Uma pala komaka omaka. And how everything that happened to us was for our benefit. And how it was metaken our neshama from all the tsar and sevel in this world. And then, yimale piv todal Hashem al shani jaser. Only in the future will we feel this gratitude toward Hashem for all that happened to us before Mashiach comes. And that's why people are going to bring so many korbanos toda, to thank Hashem for what we call life situations that we thought were so terrible, how we'll see the goodness in them. And that, my friends, is the drinking on Purim. I'm not advocating drinking, for sure not advocating drinking for teenagers. I heard about this great film, L'Chaim, put out by the Mund family in Silver Spring, that it seems like every youngster needs to, every teenage boy needs to watch this film. But be that as it may, clearly, when we're talking here about the philosophy of drinking, that's the Adelo Yada ben Arohamon Baruch Mordechai. We don't know. In our life, we think that this is bad and this is good, and this is clearly bad and this is clearly good. Purim, when we have a taste, we have a glimpse, it's the highest of the holidays of Ein Od Milvato, that everything is from Hashem, we suddenly see that even the Arohamon is a Baruch Mordechai, and we have a whole different perspective. And that, at the end of 25, is the idea of the Tachposeh, is the idea of the costumes on Purim. Because when you see the costumes on Purim, and you clearly see that someone's dressing up, and there's another person found inside, what we need to do emotionally and spiritually is to tear away the costume of life, to tear away the teva of life, and say, Hashem, I see that that which I see in front of me, that's not reality. That's just a tafosa, that's just a costume. Pull off that mask and be able to see that there's Ein Od Milvado. There is the oneness of Hashem found within. And says the Chida, in the small paragraph in 26, Chag HaPurim Shebo Nimshach, Chidur Behirus Lamunas Einod Mevado, Purim, which is a time to work on and strengthening Einod Mevado, as we deliver Mishloach Manos, not to look at things just on a superficial level, but to constantly remind ourselves, Ein Od Mevado, let me find Hashem, let me feel Hashem, let me sing praise to Hashem at every moment in Purim, to feel that closeness to Hashem. B'toch HaSibot V'Nikrim, in life. V'chikol HaSibot V'Nikrim, Einam El Tachposef HaChizat Einayim Chitoni Bilvad, and to realize how we get so caught up in life. You know, if you've seen these books about the visual perception, the optical illusions of life. We know that you can see something, and it's an optical illusion. Life is an optical illusion. Zeu ikar mechamas amalek imanu b'chol adoros, ubeprapid doreinu zman ikvas ad mashiach, in our generation specifically. How we have to prepare ourselves to feel the shefa of emuna, the light which is shining on this. It's a light from the future. It's a light of Ephes Ulato. Ukechol shichakeim hadam b'yom zeh. The next paragraph, and to the extent we prepare ourselves, to the extent that we make ourselves an open vessel for this emuna, aside from the practical mitzvahs of the day of Suras Purim, Mishloach Manos, etc., Yerchiv libo b'tfila karaui. Ah, your davening is a different davening. B'shas ha-Megillah, and during a Megillah, to really feel the emuna of Ein Od Mevado, to thank Hashem for the nisim nistarim. To this extent, that you're able not to meziach dat, not to lose your focus from the emuna kedusha of Yichud Hashem in the entire day, then what you're able to accomplish on Purim with ease, yikshem ma'ov, the asterisks, lasot b'yeter yimot hashana. It will be very difficult to do the rest of the year. That's the school of Purim. And it will bring a person to ge'ula pratit, b'mida ma me'ein ha'gula klali, sh'tei lasi b'mehera b'kemuvar. And it can create a ge'ula for a person. Someone was telling me about a yeshiva boy who wasn't, you know, the best of the students, who took this seriously. And who davened a davening on Purim night, that he was still davening Mariv after the Tzibur finished the whole Megillah. That boy was never the same afterwards. There's a petach, there's an opening on the Purim, which you don't have all year. It's an opening, the Siach Yosef, from Yosef Fogel notes in the next source of 26, Adar is the Pagisha in Borei Olam. You're mamish meeting Hashem. It's the Kimu v'Kiblu of Kabbalah Satora. It's a time of Emunah and Bitachon. That's why one's tefillah on Purim is different, because when you feel Ein Od Mevado, when you feel that it's not just lip service, but there really is no one else but Hashem to rely on, not doctors, not anything else, but only Hashem, in that way you're bringing down that Shefa, that flow from Shemayim. And this is the reason which we began with, but now with a deeper understanding, why Mishloach Manos and Matanos of Yonim are so important on this day. Because if you're able to really work on your emuna, then there's no kina, there's no jealousy, there's no tacharut, there's no competition between people. You are clear that Hashem is running my life tailor-made for me. They're running Hashem's running my friend's life tailor-made for them. So let's all get along. Let's all be friends. During the rest of the year, when this is so difficult to reach this level, it comes with ease on Purim. The friendship, the achdus, the unity is something that helps us strengthen ourselves and makes us feel that we're all working together for the same goal, and it enables one to help one another. And as we've said in the past, you know, there's been a tendency that people have gone to the extreme of Mishlochei Manos, that people now want to go to the opposite extreme of giving none. So Cholamar Be'aretha Meshubach, it's important to go out and to share. These ideas of these shuttles are very nice, and it gives the institutions a lot of money. But it takes away to some degree, and it should be done. And it's a great thing. Great. Having said that, that shouldn't yotzei us. That doesn't mean that you have to spend $100 on every Mishloach Manos. It can mean that you can do something with simplicity, with taste, and with creativity, and you give it to somebody else, and it's a day of tremendous friendship. It's a day of tremendous unity, and we need to tap into that koach and not run away from it and not escape from it, but rather embrace it, because that feeling of unity without kinna, without tachrut, is what the king of a kiblu, what the receiving of the Torah in unity is all about. My friends, if we were just to summarize this level, and then we will end with the practical. It's no accident Rav Zev Lev, 29, explains that throughout the Chumash and the Navi describing Amalek, it uses the word asher karcha baderech, who met you along the way. Perhaps the significance of this, the middle of 29, is that one who believes in an intelligent divine force that created and guides the world, believes that the world has a purpose and goal, a path that has been designed for it. An atheist who believes only in random chance denies such a path. He claims that the occurrences are random and unrelated, not part of some master plan. Amalek attacks us on our path to receive the Torah, challenging the concept of path, which signifies purpose and meaning in the world. And that's why, continuing in 30, it's no accident that the word machar, which is by Amalek, say lochim ba'amalek machar, Moshe Rabbeinu tells Yoshua, or by Esther, you have machar over and over again. Machar, tomorrow, is also part of the divine plan. We who believe in God, who has a master plan for the world, have a tomorrow, Amalek. The atheist has no tomorrow, only the present. A chance accident that may or may not continue. And this is why the bottom right, that the Megillah, like the Sefer Torah, has to be scored. It needs sritut. It must be scored with lines before the letters are written. Just like a Torah, last page, 33 scroll. The letters and words of the Torah represent the unfolding of the events in the world. The almost invisible lines on the parchment upon which these letters are written represent the divine plan, the path that is already extant before those events actually occur. The joy of Purim is the joy of knowing that this world has purpose and design, and it's not left to blind chance. There's no happiness greater than the resolution of doubt. Purim resolved the doubts caused by Amalek. This joy is expressed by the Gemara in joining us to drink Adelo Yada, one who has faith and trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and realizes that as he who runs the world can feel secure, even in a situation where his own lack of control is most apparent, where he's not even sure what is positive and what is negative. Because the realization that the world is not the product of chance and accident, but the creation of intelligent God who gives it purpose and direction, gives the Jew a feeling of intense self-worth, because he is of supreme importance in God's plan. So if we were to summarize what we've seen till now, my friends, the Nesivos Shalom sets up for us the rubric. Amalek is a war within us, the quintessential evil, to rid evil within us. It's a war of emuna. It's a war that needs reus, it needs friends, it needs camaraderie to be successful. Part of the war is sur meira, is to eradicate the shav, the falsehood, the gaiva, the arrogance, the world of excuses that we make, that we think we're living a holy life and we're really covering up. Yad el keska. Simcha of Purim is to know that it's not about the way I want things run, it's the way Hashem runs things, and that leads to tremendous simcha. It's also an Aseh Tov, it's a war of Hashem Echad versus El Acher. It's seeing the Hashem Echad, the Dalet Reish, very large in front of us, to see at every moment that it's not chance, it's not coincidence, it's the Dalet, it's the unity, it's the one, it's the Echad of Hashem that runs our world. That Kutzo Shayud is a small line, but it makes a world of a difference. And the more that we're able to sing Hallel from the Megillah itself, the more that we're able to fight Amalek and realize that things aren't mikra. We realize that the whole world is a tachpos, that the whole world is a costume. We have to just take it off and see there's a reality. It's not cause and effect. It's not a coincidence. It's not by chance. Let's not talk this way. That's the way Amalek wants us to talk. That's mikra. We talk Einod Milvado. The greatest simcha we're able to touch into of Purim is the simcha of the future, of the Einod Milvado. Purim will be around in the future. It's that joy. It's the joy of recognizing that everything has a place. Arahaman, Baruch Mordechai, to the extent that Zechida says that we can tap into this emotionally, that while we're giving our Mishloach Manos, while we're having a Suda, that we're very focused in, and this is a celebration of Kimu V'Kiblu, of Kabbalah Satorah, that we're reaccepting the Torah today, we're reaccepting Hashem into our lives today, Me'av Ataneis, out of love, we're feeling Hashem at every moment of what we do, we're feeling His presence, that's our job in Purim. To turn to Him in tefillah, to be able to have that deep relationship with Him, and not to get caught in just the holiness. The day is so short. I always tell people here, start Vasikin. Wake up early, before your kids are up, to have a real shachris. Be able to get in the most of the day. The muscle I've used before, if I would tell you you have $1 million in your basement, and only 12 hours to take out that money, who would sleep late on a day like that? We have more than $12 million. We have the Sharei Shamayim open. How can you sleep on a day like this? Practically speaking, what does Mechiyas HaMalek mean for us? It means this awareness. It means, on the one hand, making those signs, Einod Mavado, having that as our focus, feeling the intensity of Hashem. On the other hand, it also means in 34 that these days and all the days leading up to Purim included are Mesugolim, Sesusichar, Niskaskut, Ratzvi Meir Zilberberg, Lama Pechot. It's a time of change. It's a time that things turn around. And he notes, he says that during our lives, we all have things that we've tried tens of times, hundreds of times to change. And we've given up, and that Yeush is part of Amalek. Now is the time to take that part that we're trying to fix and try to work on it. Try to be able to say to Hashem that I can't take on the war of Amalek in all my negative characteristics. That's too much. Let me choose one Nekuda at the end of 36, Nekuda Charoshtayim, and say, this is what is bringing me down. Let me work on this with all of my effort this year. That's my Mechiyas HaMalek. And be aware of it and daven and say, Hashem, it's in this area that I'm trying to be more careful. And the one suggestion that he makes in 38 is the idea the Ari HaKadosh says, Ki Reishit Goyim Amalek, is Rashi Tevot of Rega, one moment, like Ki Rega Ba'apo, the one moment of Kas. Amalek really represents that one moment of anger that we forget in 40 of all the goodness that Hashem gives us and all the wonderful brachos that we have. One thing doesn't go our way, which goes back to the Gaiva of Amalek, and we lose it. Ki rega ba'apo, you want to know something to work on practically? It's being able to wait that moment before reacting. And particularly on Purim, this is a very practical idea. When there's such a time, you know, of energy going on here. You have to hear Megillah, you have to hear Mishloach Manos, Vatav Savyonim, and then people who have, boys particularly, have the Mordechai Tzadik learning, and then you have to have Suda, and you have to drive places, and we're all pressured, and then this kid's costume rips, and this kid is upset that they didn't get this candy. I don't need to describe to you what Purim looks like, right? It's for now, Fochu. Ki rega ba'apo, not getting angry, being calm, having a tehillim by our side. Ki rega ba'apo, saying, Amalek, you're not going to get me. Every ripped costume, every cry of a child, this is what the Ribono Shel Olam wants. Thank you, Hashem. I know you love me, Hashem. You've given me this costume. You've given me this child. You've given me these new shonos. I take it with love, and I'm not taking it with gaiva that I need to necessarily blow it and get angry. To at least on Purim work, ki rega ba'apo, and not to get frustrated and to be able to be calm. That is also part of Mechiyas Amalek. I'd like to close, my friend, which I've done in years past, to share with you the Mishloach Manot poem that I put into my Mishloach Manos, which is a theme usually based on the shir that I give. So this year I combine last week's shir and this week's shir of the fish and the Hashem Echad. Let me tell you what the ingredients are, and then I'll read you the poem. And it's working with Hebrew and English here, so bear with me. It's working with the theme of Dalet, the Hashem Echad, so it's Dalet foods, foods that begin with the letter Dalet in Hebrew. So Dagim are clearly fish, So there are fish crackers called dag dag. Then there is dubim, which are little bears. A dubi is a bear, so little bear candies. Then there is pumpkin muffin. Pumpkin in Hebrew is duliat, with a dalet. Dvash, honey cakes. And in at least in Eretz Yisrael, Doritos have an excellent hechsher, so Doritos as well. So now I'm going to read you the poem. You'll do the best you can with it. In a dag-eat-dag world that appears hefker, we need to remember the tale, and tales in quotations of T-A-L-E, playing on the tale of last week. Remember the tale of the fish, which teaches us the emet without sheker. The letter of Dalet of Echad has to be strong. It is no wonder why every day that is the word which we say so long. For those who are dubious and can't bear this reality, bedelait breira means in Aramaic without a choice, playing on the duliat of the pumpkin, bedelait breira, without a choice, they will be proved wrong with great clarity. Our job is to inculcate the way of Amunah from the highs to the lows. And this I'm going to spell out so it's easier for people. Midor, dor, from our eyes to our toes. That's Doritos, Doritos. Doritos, D-O-R-I-T-O. The way of Hashem is Misuki Midvash, right? Sweeter than honey. Full of all that is so sweet. So drink a l'chaim and be able to meet Einod Movado. Wish everybody a Freilich and Purim. Mirtz Hashem, next week we're not going to learn. We're going to instead be living the Einod Movado. And we'll come back in 2 weeks' time, Bezrat Hashem Yisbarach.